welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about Zabbix and packet analysis.
So these are two things that, one, you've seen. One, we've done a little bit of.
Mm-hmm.
But these two are projects that I came up with because they need to be done. We need to have these on the network. And we need to have them for a couple reasons. So I'm going to start with Zabbix, which you're a little bit new to. And this is something that relates back to the Cisco network lifecycle that we've been using off and on. So we have the plan or prepare, plan, design, and implement process where we, you know, gather some information and then we end up implementing a project eventually by going through that process. But what we've never actually done is gone into the operate and optimize phases. So in the operate phase, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to get your baseline. And then based on your baseline, you can figure out how to optimize the network. And sometimes what you want to do is get your baselines before you do anything as part of your information gathering process to say, okay, how is the network functioning? Do we need to upgrade? If we do need to upgrade, how much of an upgrade do we need? You know, what kind of switch should we get? What kind of router do we need? In some cases, you might do a baseline for a server.
Well, and then we kind of talked about doing a baseline for the logs to see what's normal. And then, you know, in case that something happens and somebody gets in the network, we'd be able to recognize that. So, but we only talked about it. We never actually done it.
Right. So this is a bit different. This is performance information.
Okay.
So you're going to be looking at things like bandwidth usage on the switch, bandwidth usage on a port. And you can also take a look at things like CPU usage on a server, disk space on a server, how much of that is used, how much RAM are you using. This is the kind of information that you can gather with a tool like Zabbix. And it's not the only one out there. There are others, but this is the one that I've used before.
Explain something to me, because I have seen Zabbix at your old job. You showed it to me. You know, it looked really cool. I was like really impressed. But what exactly is it? If you had to define it, what is it?
So Zabbix is a network monitoring solution. And so basically what you do with these types of solutions is you set it up so it can track the performance of devices you add into the system.
So you set it up and then you have to add the devices, right? And then what kind of things besides the CPU, what else do you
monitor? So you can look at, so say for example, you're on a server.
Mm-hmm.
The major things I'm looking for are things like CPU, RAM usage, disk space, and the system can be set up to send you alerts. So for example, if the system is running out of drive space, send me an alert. If the CPU usage is kind of on the high side, let's say 75, 80% for let's say 5 minutes, 10 minutes, send me an alert.
If and RAM it also usage, tells you if something is down?
Correct. If the system is offline, it will tell you that as well because it can't reach it. It's not getting information from it.
And explain to people, like I got to see it. You had a monitor in your office and you can see the different field offices that you guys had. And then you could see when something was down and you could say, oh, you know, it was the gas pump or the store or whatever. So explain to people what it looks like when something is down or like, you know, you have icons for the different kind of devices, right?
Yeah, one of the nice things about Zabbix is that you can actually design or put together a network map of all of your devices. And then you can have it, you know, based on the different things that happen with that device, you can have different alerts go off. You can have different kinds of changes in the icons. You can even have the links change to something different if it's offline or what have you. So there's some interesting things you can do with it that I haven't been able to find in other products or solutions. And people who work in enterprise environments might be familiar with something like SolarWinds. SolarWinds has something very similar. And that's something that you have to pay for that. It's expensive. And there are other commercial solutions out there that do something similar. In really large environments, something like Zabbix doesn't work very well. It doesn't scale well.
Is Zabbix free?
Yes. In our case, it's going to be free. You can pay for support, but it's an open source application. you just get it for free. You do your installation, you do your configuration, and hopefully everything works the way that you want.
So you get to try it before you decide whether you want to invest in it or not.
Right. And okay. And you don't necessarily have to have commercial support. That's optional. You know, so and that's kind of one of the reasons why I like Zabbix. So if you're in a situation where you think you need help getting it working, you know, you can pay for that support. And it's a lot cheaper than something like SolarWinds. And you're going to get some of the same features that you would have in SolarWinds within Zabbix. There may be other fancy features that SolarWinds has that Zabbix does not. But in our case, when we're monitoring a limited number of stuff in our lab, or in my case, when I was working for that other company and we were using it, it was the perfect solution. It gave me everything I needed to see, and we weren't really monitoring a whole lot of devices.
Was it really hard for you to figure out how it works? You know, like what kind of time? I know you did the research, and I know you figured out how to do it yourself. So what kind of time did you spend on this, and how difficult was it for you to figure out how to implement it?
I think it took me about a week to get things kind of the way I wanted it to be. And there were some issues I had with certain configurations. So one of the things that Zabbix will do, well, there's two things. One, it has an agent, and an agent is something that you install on another system. That could be a Windows server, a Windows workstation, a Linux server, Linux workstation, and that will send information back to the Zabbix server, and then you can see what's going on with that particular system. Now, some things you can't install that on. Like if you're talking about a switch or a printer, well, you can't install it on that. So in that case, it's going to be using SNMP. And SNMP is used to gather information from that device. And if you do it, we used to do this on the printers that we had at work. And when you do that, it gathered all kinds of information from the printer. I mean, we knew when somebody opened the cover, opened a paper tray, if there was a paper jam. I mean, if somebody walked up to the printer, alarms went off and we got an email or four or five emails because they were doing something with the printer. So there are some things that you have to tweak because the default settings just, you know, kind of crazy.
So you would be able to tell, okay, don't tell me when the cover's open or when they're changing the toner. Well, no, the toner is important, but when somebody's making a copy or they're lifting the lid or whatever, or the cover, whatever you call that. So you're able to manage that, right?
You are. And that's one of the things that kind of took me a while to figure out how to do all of that so that we didn't get like 20 emails, you know, in the morning and 20 emails in the afternoon just because people are using the printers.
So you installed it, you configured it. How did you get your baseline? Like, you know, what was the process for you to be able to get an accurate baseline on this?
So we will get into the baseline piece later on when we actually install that on our system here for our lab. Mm-hmm. So we can see how that process works and we'll see what the baseline process looks like. And some of those are going to be different for different things based on what it is you're trying to accomplish with that. Like a switch has its own baseline. A server may have its own baseline. A workstation may have something different.
I guess what I was asking is, how long did it take you to get the baseline? Was it a week? Did you watch it for a week and see if there were any changes? Was it a month? Or
well, that's something that we're gonna.
So you just want to get into this once that we install it,
right? So okay. Once we install that, okay. You're gonna see what the process looks like,
okay.
And then we can decide how we're gonna get the baseline.
Okay.
So that's Zabbix, and what I also want to do. So we're gonna get into some of the details of that. But what we also want to do on our network, especially on the data center side, is to be able to do packet analysis. And for that, we're going to use Wireshark. Now, there's a problem with Wireshark. Wireshark's not something that you want to use to capture the packets. That's what you use when you want to analyze your packet capture. We need a process or a way of capturing the packets on the network. So for that, what we're going to use is we're going to build a special box for that, and then we're going to plug that into the network, and we're going to use that to capture the packets. And then we can take that information and bring that into Wireshark to do your analysis. And in large enterprise environments, there's like, you know, huge amounts of traffic, huge amounts of bandwidth with huge amounts of stuff going across the network. So you really have to have a specialized box that can handle all that traffic coming in and capture all the packets. Because one of the issues you may have, Let's say, for example, you have a laptop, you plug it in, you run Wireshark. There's a chance that Wireshark's going to be busy, or the system itself is going to be busy doing other things, and it doesn't capture all the packets. So that one or two packets that you really want to have because they have the information you're looking for, they got dropped because the system was busy.
So what tool are you going to use for packet capture? Something in Kali Linux or?
So we are going to be installing Ubuntu on a box, and we'll get into that in a minute here. But there's a lot of things that go into this whole process, just like with Zabbix. You know, we need to know what VLAN are we going to be capturing packets on. We can do VLAN 51, which is your data center. We can do all VLANs, which means we would have to move the box to the core of the network so it sees all VLANs and captures traffic on all the VLANs. And that might be interesting to do so we can see what's really happening on these different VLANs. What kind of traffic are we seeing? Are there any issues there? And what we really want to do is we want to learn how to analyze the packets. What's happening at layer 2? What's happening at layer 3? What kind of information do we see when we capture these packets? So that's going to be something that we will have eventually. I want to start with Zabbix. And so we're going to cover that whole process there of how we're going to set up Zabbix, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And it's just like with any other project that we've been doing. And one of the things that I think I mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, we're now in a situation where our projects are no longer simple. They're very complicated.
What are the kind of things that you're going to be considering when you're making your plan to install Zabbix? What are you going to be looking at in the ways of what kind of information that you need to gather to put the project together? What are you going to be looking at?
Right, and this is something that you were asking me about the other day, because mm-hmm. I showed you some of the stuff that I had already planned out for installing Zabbix right. and setting up some stuff with that. And there's a long list of things in there. And it's not a complete list because I haven't done my initial information gathering. So I don't know yet if there's anything else I'm missing. So again, I'm in the information gathering phase and I'm trying to plan for the installation of Zabbix. So we're going to be installing this on our Gigabyte server, assuming I can do that. And that's running Ubuntu 16.04. And Zabbix can run on that. And there's enough resources on that particular system for it to function properly. But now the question is, will it work with everything else that's on there? Am I going to introduce an issue into the system? Meaning, we already have services and applications on that particular system. Will Zabbix play nice with those applications? Now, Zabbix is a web-based application. So I need to have a LAMP server on there, which is Linux, Apache, PHP, MySQL, all of that has to be in there. Mm-hmm. We have that. We have ITOP installed on that particular system. We also have DocuWiki on there. Now, ITOP requires a database, a web server, Linux. So all of that is already part of the system because we have or needed to have ITOP installed on that box. And that was the primary reason for having that system. That's already on there. So some of the requirements that we need for Zabbix have already been checked off because we have another web-based application on there, ITOP, that needed all of that. The question is, if I install Zabbix on the system, are there any changes I have to make? Are there any additional things I have to install that could conflict with that particular or those applications like ITOP and DocuWiki? Will those break if I install Zabbix?
So then you're just going to need to make sure that you back up everything.
Correct. So for the backup process, I have here CloneZilla. I want to make a CloneZilla image.
Okay.
So I have to figure out how to do that. I don't have any steps for that yet. It's been a while since I've used CloneZilla. And then I need to back up the configs. So like the Etsy directory, the website, all of that stuff has to be backed up. I need to back up the database. There's need a process for that. I need to back up the installed applications. And I'm really not backing up the installed applications. What I'm doing here is, and I haven't done this in a while, but I know you can do it. There's a command you can type in for apt that will list out all of the applications you have installed on the system. And you're supposed to be able to take that and on a new box, dump that in there with apt, and there's a whatever command you're going to use for that, and it will install everything on that list. So that way, if I happen to damage the system, I can use that to just reinstall Ubuntu, run that on the system. It will dump everything back in there, put the configs back in. If I back up Etsy, all the configs are in Etsy. I should be fine. So those are some things that I'm looking at. But then I also have that CloneZilla image. Now, just within the CloneZilla image, the question is, okay, I create the image. Does it work? How do I test it? How do I know I can put it back? Because I've told you in the past that there have been times when people have done backups, nobody checks. Later on, they find out the backup didn't do anything. It wasn't working properly. There's nothing on the tape. There's nothing on the hard drive. It's empty.
It wasn't backed up properly, basically. That's what you're saying.
Right. So we have to double check and verify that these things are working, because you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, in my case, I install Zabbix, I break something, I go to my my image, my CloneZilla image, and find out it doesn't work.
But is there a way to verify that the backup has been successful besides reinstalling it?
So it will tell you that the backup finished. It doesn't tell you whether or not the backup works.
Okay.
So what I would do is, I think one of the things I'd like to do and test is to see if I can get the backup installed on a virtual machine.
On a virtual machine, okay.
If it installs on a virtual machine, I should be fine.
Okay. Sounds good. So, okay, so you get all that done, all the backups, and now you are installing Zabbix. How are you doing this? What are you doing?
I found some instructions online, and hopefully those are going to be good enough to be able to get Zabbix installed. It's been a while since I've installed it, and sometimes it doesn't give you all of the necessary things you need to install. Like, one of the things I ran into is, because Zabbix uses SNMP, Ubuntu has to have this SNMP package installed so that it can reach out to devices on the network using SNMP. I think by default, it doesn't have that. So that was one of the issues I had when I initially tried to use Zabbix, is that everything seemed to be working fine, but I wasn't getting any information from the devices.
Well, if that is a problem, you do need to document it. So that way, we need to know that the default is not enough, that we need to do that additional step.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's going to be interesting here is, how is my documentation going to be? And I may have to go through this process, inside a virtual machine later on, and just kind of go through that to make sure that when we create a checklist for this, the checklist is totally complete.
Yeah, that may mean we may have to do it more than once.
Right. And we may just have to practice on another, virtual machine just to get practice and make sure that if this is a tool that we want to have in our toolbox for later, that we have a process for installing it properly within Ubuntu.
Makes sense.
And then once it's installed, then you have to add your hosts and all of that and get those things configured. And then you can set it up so that you have users that can access that. You can set it up so that, again, it sends you emails when something's offline or different kinds of alerts happen.
So when you say host, what are you talking about?
So a host is just anything on the network with an IP address.
Okay. Like the core switch, the data center switch, the printer.
Exactly.
And then SNMP, of course.
Right. So you're going to be talking to these different devices with SNMP. And one of the things that's going to be a bit difficult and tricky is figuring out how to use SNMP to monitor your Raspberry Pi servers on the data center. Now, there's an agent that we can install, but you always have to check system requirements, because your Raspberry Pi doesn't have a lot of resources. It's not like it's a Dell server for a large enterprise environment.
Right.
It wasn't meant to do that kind of thing. So when you look at the system requirements for the agent, it's like 1 gig of RAM. Well, your Raspberry Pi only has 1 gig of RAM.
Right.
So you would be able to put the agent on there, and then that would be it. You couldn't do anything else with it.
Okay.
So we're going to have to figure out if there's a way to monitor the Raspberry Pi using SNMP. And all we really want to know is RAM usage, CPU usage, and that's pretty much it. Because we don't have to really worry about drive space, although we could maybe look at that as well. But RAM usage and CPU usage is the two things I'm interested in.
Okay. So you've gone to prepare, plan, design, and implement, operate, and optimize when it comes to Zabbix. What about with packet capture?
So the packet capture box, and this is something that I had kind of sort of planned for, and we bought these boxes a while ago. I mean, this was a couple years ago I bought these, I think.
Oh, and yeah, the little rugged ones? Those are cool.
So these are the rugged fanless computers from Logic Supply. They're tiny. I like them. I think if I had to do this over again, I might have picked something different because they were kind of expensive.
They're portable and they're nice and they're rugged enough to where you can take it places and nothing moves and you don't have to worry about it them being damaged. You should put a couple of the pictures of them. My server is one of them, and then you got a couple of the boxes to the Kali Linux on that. You should put pictures on the show notes.
Yeah, we can do that. And the reason why I got them is for what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We can carry them around. So if we wanted to take this to somebody's office and plug it into their network and use it for testing the network, we could do that.
Yeah, we used to take them to the makerspace and try to mess with the little things they had in there for the network. So talk about the plan for the packet capture, please.
So in this case, this logic supply box, I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'll put a link to the ones that we have for this particular situation in our show notes. But it has two network cards. So one network card is going to be used for management, and then one is going to be used for capturing the packets. I want one dedicated interface specifically for capturing packets. Again, we don't want to drop any packets and miss information that we may need. And then we want to install Ubuntu 16.04. I thought about using Kali Linux, but then Kali Linux requires you to have a desktop, and I don't really want a desktop on there. I want to keep it simple. Now, there may be a way for us to get Kali Linux on the box to do what we want at some point, but for this particular situation, I want to keep it simple. I don't want to have to mess with Kali Linux. It's just going to be there for capturing packets at this point.
There was something that we did in the past that they were saying that there was an application or something that you can do the packet capture that worked really well just to do that and then to use Wireshark later.
Yeah,
do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute. So we have our box. We have our two network cards. I'm going to be installing Ubuntu 16.04 on there. And then the two applications we're going to use for capturing packets. One is TCP Dump.
That's the one.
And that's an open source application. And then the other one is T-Shark.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that comes from the Wireshark people. And what's nice about that is if you're learning how to use Wireshark, the commands you use for filtering stuff out in Wireshark are the same ones you're going to use in T-Shark. So the commands are going to be transferable. Rather than having to learn different commands for something like TCP dump, you can just use the same ones you have in Wireshark for T-Shark. And then we're going to also install Nmap, because that's another tool that we can use. If I have to do some troubleshooting on the network, I'd like to be able to use Nmap for that. It's just so we know, hey, I'm pinging this server or I'm scanning this box, I can pull some information from it.
And it does give you some network information sometimes that is quite useful.
It does. But here's where things get a bit tricky and where I need you to give me the necessary things I need to make this work. So if we're going to plug this into the data center switch and we're going to be looking at, say, VLAN 51, I need a port for management. I need an IP address for that management network interface. And then I'm going to have a port on the switch for capturing the packets. So those are things that
I can work on gathering that information for you.
Right. And you have to tell me what IP address to use, what ports I can have access to. Now, for the packet capture portion on your Cisco switch, there's a gigabit port. That's the one I want to use for capturing the packets, because that's going to be the fastest one we have.
Right.
I'm trying not to lose any packets. In our particular case, it may not matter because there's just four Raspberry Pis on there. Hardly any traffic is going to be on the network. And I doubt we're going to be using gigabit speeds for any of that. But it's something that I want to, use just in case.
Right.
So there's a lot of things, even just for this packet capture box. And by the way, this is just a short list of things. I think I had 17 things on my initial checklist for things I need to do just for the packet capture box.
Well, on each section, you're going to have submenus or sublists of different things that you're going to need to gather or actually do. So I know you were thinking about taking a couple of days off from work just to be able to get, to just get the preparation for us to be able to do this. So I'm not sure. Are you still thinking about doing that?
I'm still thinking about doing that. And I'm thinking that what I want to do is get Zabbix out of the way.
Right.
Just get that done and over with and then move on to other things. Because that's the one where we're going to get our baseline. And that's the one that's going to help us figure out how our network is actually doing.
And that's the one that's going to have the most worries for us, because we need to figure out if it's going to play nice with the rest of the things that we have in our network, like you were talking about earlier. So, because if it doesn't, then what are we going to do, you know?
Yeah. So to summarize here, I have these two projects, Zabbix and our packet capture box. And both of these are things we need to do, but they're going to require me to do a lot of things and make sure that I have all the things I need before I start. Because once I start, especially with Zabbix, I could potentially damage our Gigabyte server. And then if our Gigabyte server is not backed up properly, we're going to lose some information in there. We have iTop in there. We have our DocuWiki stuff in there. Your checklists are on that box.
Well, it is really crucial that we do backups. I mean, everything needs to be backed up. We can't just continue to put that and say, well, yeah, you know, we're supposed to be doing those at the end of the month like clockwork. And we haven't been really good at that because we get caught up on the projects, the research and everything else. But right now, when you're talking about doing a project like this, I think it's critical. We need to make sure that we have all of our backups. So in case that damage happens, we'd be able to put everything back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I'm a little worried about, because there's some stuff in here, like I said before, there are some things about Linux and the process for certain things that I'm not too familiar with. I've done them in the past, but I don't do them every day. So like making sure that the database is backed up properly. I don't do that every day. I'm not a database person.
Right.
Making sure that certain configurations are there. Testing a backup like for the image I want to create.
Oh, the Clonezilla?
The Clonezilla image. Mm-hmm. I've never actually tested that kind of thing before. So it's going to be interesting to see how that whole process works. And I want to make sure, if I take a couple of days off, I may only get parts of this done. I may not finish the whole thing. Because I want to make sure the backup process is done right. So when I go to implement this, I'm not damaging the system and I can't put it back.
And not only that, we've been going through this the entire time we start a project. No matter how much you prepare for it, there is always something that comes up. And that something could be a 4-hour something, a 2-day something. You never know. It's just the nature of IT. It's what happens. And, you just kind of need to prepare yourself the best that you can, just knowing that, it may not go smoothly just because you think that it might.
No, that's true. And again, I think that...
But this is pretty cool, though. I'm looking forward to getting this done.
Yeah. And I think that we've done enough of these to where, because we looked at your Raspberry Pi project. We looked at all the things you needed for that. We started your checklist process. And I think because we have spent the time to do things like checklists, we spent the time to do the... change management process, which requires you to plan for things. And we try to think about the things that are supposed to be part of that change process for that particular project. Thinking about these things has helped me take a look at some of these things and say, okay, where's the network piece? Where's the system administration piece? What am I missing? How does this work with this? How does this work with that? So one of the things that you wanted to know is, how do you come up with all of these things on your list? How do you know they're supposed to be there? And that comes with experience. Your certs are not necessarily going to help you with that, because you have to learn how to think that way. I think what the certs do is they help you realize that there are certain components in, say, Windows 10. There are certain things in Server 2016, or there are certain things you can do for security. But until you start to use them, then you can say, oh, yeah, for security and VPNs, I want to use these protocols. Or to make sure that my traffic is secure for managing my Linux servers, I want to use SSH.
Right.
Or I want to use this particular feature in Windows 10. I think the certs help you understand that those things are there. The labs and some of the experience help you figure out how they all go together.
I can honestly tell you, when we're talking about last week, and it's like, how do you even begin to put a checklist together for this? Because you were talking to me about Zabbix and all that. And then I thought, it really doesn't matter. the most important thing, no matter what you do in IT, you gotta have the hands-on experience. You know, before you take a cert, before you do, you know, anything in your job, play with it. I used to be so terrified of jumping in and playing with the devices, and now I cannot really see myself progressing without trying to break something or trying to make, you know, a little something, do something. And you know, I always go, okay, well, you know, if I screw it up, I can delete that virtual machine and start over. And, you know, there's a lot of peace in that when it comes to having a lab and being able to, you know, to test those things without the fear of, oh my God, I'm going to take the network down or I'm going to screw something up so bad, you know. So I think what we're doing is important. I'm learning a lot and I really am appreciative of having the tools that we have and doing the projects that we're doing, whether we know how to do them or not. You know, whether we have to force ourselves to do the research and you know, take a chance on, let me see if I know how to configure this and make it work how it's supposed to. And then when it doesn't work, okay, what's going on? How do I troubleshoot this? I think that's like one of the most important things in IT.
It is. It is. And little by little, we've managed to get this far. I mean, we started out, you know, even for me, you know, I've been in IT off and on for years. And even when we started our little projects, it was chaos because we didn't have a process for managing things. We didn't have our change management process. We didn't have your checklist. We had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We did try some things. We did have our network diagrams. We did write some things down. But it was kind of a process that was kind of broken.
Well, yeah, because then whenever we had to remember, did we do that? How did we do that? Did we do But we didn't document it. And this is my fear on why I want to back up everything in the world, especially our DokuWiki and our ITOP. We have information on both of those that we could not function without. We have IP addresses documented, issues that happen documented and how to fix them. We have network diagrams. We have, you know, our instructions on how to download certain software and, you know, whether you can or can't or how, you know, like you were talking about, what's on the default and what do you need to add when the default is not enough. I wouldn't want to be without that because, you know, having a checklist and that allows me to forget, but it gives me that security in there that if I have to do it again, I have something to go from. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that we're having to do and our projects are getting... they're not getting easier. They're getting more difficult. But because we have a process, I think it's easier for me now to see how to organize these things to make sure they work properly. Mm-hmm. We don't damage something.
Right.
So I think it's going to work out. We'll see how far we get and we'll go from there. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No. You?
No, I think that's it. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.